Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi from Fred Film Radio from the Torino Festival, here with Kiri Papuz, the director of The Last Porno Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice title and a tremendous opening of the film, which left everybody say, oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was important for me to get people's attention right away.
And you made it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think trouble these days is people's attention spans are is terrible, right? You know, people are used to watching 2-minute movies on or videos on YouTube, and they just don't have the attention span. So I wanted to right away hook them in, say, this is where we're going. You know, if you like it, stick around. If you don't like the opening shot, you should leave now because it's not going to get any better for you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Listen, you wrote it, directed and produced the film yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the whole control over it.
100%.
100%. Yeah. And the story is the story of this guy who wants to become an actor, and he inherited a porn cinema from his dad.
Yeah.
That it's not in touch with anymore. And this is the very beginning. But then the development is very serious because, you know, the relationship between this guy and this place that was his home for a very long time when he was a kid is getting on him deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. So it tries to... So we have different layers of narrative there that you choose to keep together and to intertwine. How difficult was it writing-wise to keep the balance between the three different points?
Yeah, writing, it took a while. I mean, the first real draft of the script was probably almost 20 years ago. But that was like when I was like, you know, just out of high school, I didn't know what I was doing, so like me and two friends worked on an idea, and then whatever, it just didn't happen. Skip forward maybe to about 4 years ago, I decided to kind of revisit the idea. It's like, well, there's something here. It wasn't what we originally had written, so I basically scrapped everything except for the idea of placing it inside the porno cinema, and I kind of started from scratch again. But it was, I would say, on and off process of about 3 years of writing. And I think for me, writing doesn't come as naturally as directing. I only write because I have to, because I don't know any writers. So it's kind of like a necessity, right? So, you know, so it's fun. I mean, it's good. It's been, I think I'm getting better as a writer now, like new things I'm working on. But it was definitely a bit of a struggle to kind of get the script where it was. But luckily I had a lot of close people who gave good feedback and people I could rely on to bounce ideas off and that. So that really helped along the way as well.
What brought you to choose the fact of this man trying to identify with his dad? Because the more the movie goes into it, the more it tries to be like his dad was for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's become kind of obsessed about it. It's not just a relieving memories. It's something deeper than this.
Yeah. I think for me, I was interested in exploring the idea of do we become our parents, which is something probably everybody struggles with at some point. You know, they, at least for me on my end, you know, I'll catch myself saying something or doing something, and I go, "Oh, that's what my dad would say."
Okay,
right?
Oh man, please don't open that door, please.
Yeah, right? You know, and I feel like everybody goes to that because I think when you're younger, you want to rebel against your parents. You want nothing to be with your. You know, I'm going to be my own person. I don't want to be like you. You're old. You're out of touch. What do you know? And then as you get older, you go, "Oh, wait a minute. I'm actually quite like them." So that was an interesting idea to explore for me, and also because I feel like me and my dad had a pretty interesting relationship growing up. My dad, he's not a pornographer, but he was a musician, and I think his lifestyle, a lot of things happened in my youth, I think, that I can identify with the character of Wayne. And so I kind of wanted to explore that as well. But in this case, you know, my dad is still around, so we've been able to kind of like work through our issues. Yeah. But I wanted to like look at, you know, what would happen if, you know, what happened, you know, if I was taken away, or, you know, if I didn't have that closure, what would I be like? So that was kind of like the jumping off point for that.
Well, actually, the lead character of your film has to make disclosure by itself, by himself, because he cannot, as you say, talk with his dad. And is he has to make it in this weird word that was his dad's word.
Yeah.
Because now I want to talk about what is the art direction of the film, because the set design that you use is very specific and very creative and kind of disturbing at some point, you know, because his dad is not spoiling the much, but his dad lives in this apartment full of mannequins, like fake men, like window mannequins.
Yeah, exactly.
They dresses
yeah, yeah.
up and
yeah, yeah. I think well, the idea of the cinema itself. I mean, I lucked out because like I didn't have any money, so we had to basically use a cinema that wasn't really being used. It's the only thing I could afford. But at the same time, I think it works out because it's such a rundown place that kind of suits the environment of. Oh, yeah. Of a porno cinema, right? So, we had to paint the place, we had to do certain things to make it a bit better, but it was kind of like pretty much ready to go. We moved in, you know. It was not only on screen but off screen. There were so many issues with that cinema. The first day my team went in to go paint the cinema, the owner had fumigated the day before. So it was just this really bad stench of chemicals, and they were finding dead rats everywhere, and they had to work on all this like really bad stuff. About 2 days into shooting the movie, my cast and crew were getting all these bites, like bites from bugs, and people were flipping out. And you know, so I called the owner. I said, "Hey, man, like my cast and crew are getting all these bites." And he's like, if there's bugs here, you guys brought them in. It wasn't my place. I'm like, so yeah, it's kind of, he's like a slumlord, right? So basically, I had to pay to get the place sprayed again my own, you know, on my budget, just so we could actually finish filming in there. The cinema we used didn't have a running projector, so we had to shoot all those scenes at a different cinema. It was just like a lot of headaches. But I think in the end, it works because it's so bad, you know. So I mean, again, it was probably the most stressed I've ever been in my life. But it actually adds
reality
100%
to what we see.
Yeah,
I want to talk to you about this issue that the film makes clear about the relationship with your own intimacy and porn, which are two different words, but not that much, because your character watches porn, but it has an issue with intimacy with his own body and other people's body, because he's an actor. He has to do a sex scene in a film, and he cannot do it.
Yeah.
So, do you think have you thought of conveying a message that porn could be detrimental to your the use of your body, the concept that you get from your body compared to the bodies you see on the screen?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think for me, I didn't... I mean, like, I'm not against pornography at all. I didn't really want to take a stance on it too much. I feel like, you know, to each their own. If you're into that, then be into that, and that's fine. It's not. I mean, I have bigger issues with probably, like, graphic violence in movies. Not that I'm against it either, but I feel like graphic violence is probably more... hurt or can do more damage than just people having sex. I feel like sex is very natural. Everybody has sex. Well, most people have sex. Most people. I'm going to say everybody. Most. So I felt like, I felt for me, I didn't really want to take a stand against it, but I also didn't want to shy away from the kind of weird and crazy world that it is. So it was always an interesting kind of fine line to balance. Originally, I actually wanted to make the pornography for the movie. The problem is that Toronto doesn't have a very active adult entertainment industry. It's very kind of niche, very low budget, more kind of like webcam stuff. So I had to license all that material in the end. I feel like when it comes to pornography, I wanted to kind of just show it as it is and kind of let the audience kind of come to their own conclusions.
There is also very clear sound and music from your shirt, as we said, that is very 70s, 70s, because everything that, I mean, the golden age of pornography was the 70s. Mm-hmm. And we are reevaluating those kind of films that were considered like Z movies as a different and alternative form of art now, you know? And you kept the taste of the 70s all through the film, when we are into the porn story. Why did you do that?
Well, I think I was interested in, again, the idea of the golden age of pornography. You know, at one time, it was culturally acceptable to, you know, go on a date to go see Deep Throat or go, you know, Behind the Green Door. They would think these movies made like millions of dollars. They were like big box office hits. And it's not only until the 80s and 90s where I think the culture changed around porno cinemas, where now it kind of became more of like a seedy place. You know, you think of like men with raincoats or more like kind of gay cruising spots, right? Right? Where people go to hook up with one another. So it's interesting, again, on how as a society we our views change on that kind of stuff. And even now, porn cinemas are pretty much obsolete because porn is available for free anywhere in the world now, right? So it's for me, it was an interesting idea how we kind of gone from something that was like, you know, really held up, maybe not on a pedestal, but it was definitely really acceptable, and it kind of just slowly kind of made its way into like the underground, an underbelly of culture.
One last question: why did you decide to create this microcosmos around the porn theater? Because when the lead character inherits this place, he wants to sell it, and then he understands that this place is not just a cinema, is like a small community of people gathering around his father. So he decided to keep the place in order to understand his father better, I think. But why did you choose to create this community in the first place?
Definitely most of my films, I tend to focus on outsiders, people on the fringe, people who don't necessarily have a voice within the arts. And I felt like, you know, people who go to porn cinemas are exactly those kind of people who would be perfect in my kind of movies. And I've also kind of, I grew up with movies, you know, by like John Waters or Harmony Korine, where they kind of use, you know, real people and people that you don't normally see in cinema. And I thought that was an interesting world to kind of like set a movie in, because there are a few films that obviously deal with pornography, but there's not many, and there's definitely none I felt that looked at the topics and subject matter that we do. So you know, I'm always trying to find new ways of,
and they are all judgmental at some point.
Yeah,
well, yours is not, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Again, I think for me it's important to kind of just paint the picture and let the audience come to their own conclusions. I don't want people to walk away and say, you know, I that movie was, you know, an anti-porn movie or something. Because, like, you know, I'm fine with porn. It's, you know, porn is going nowhere. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. I mean, it's huge, right? And, you know, people watch porn whether they want to admit it or not. It's around.
And then, to be honest, your film is much more than a film about porn industry.
100%,
Well, it's more intriguing part of it, probably, but the movie is about, like, a relationship, like making peace with your own roots and your own memories. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah, again, I feel like, you know, first and foremost, it's a movie about, you know, a guy trying to reconcile his relationship with his dad. You know, so I feel like, for me, I'm mostly proud of the heart of the movie. Like, it's got a lot of heart, a lot of emotion. And, all the porn, like I said, it's all secondary. It's just kind of like the icing on the cake. You know?
Exactly. Well, thank you very much. Kiri Peppers, director of The Last Porno Show. I'm Angelo Cerbi from the Torino Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.